Have you ever had a moment where overwhelming anxiety has bubbled up from beneath the surface? Welcome to the Parable Podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Zapchank, and joining me today is the vocalist and guitarist from the band Brotality, Reese Mayopolsky, who shares with us about understanding his own mental health.
Having like such a conviction that you're supposed to do something is really fulfilling and also really difficult, because in our minds, there's no question that this is what we're going to be doing with our lives. I know, like, especially Bryce and I, just because we're brothers, like, we have both been saying that since we were like 10 years old. So like, we know that like, this is the thing.
Here's my conversation with Reese Mayopolsky.
Let's see some action here. Let's bring it in tight and let's have some fun.
Patterns of illumination, memories occupying my mind.
Excited for you to meet Reese Mayopolsky. I met Reese this summer. You know, everybody was going for Taylor Swift tickets, but we went to Brotality. We saw him and his band Brotality twice, not once, but twice this summer. So Reese, welcome to the Parable Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
Sure. So yeah, so for the listener, there was a festival that I attended as probably a 16, 17 year old kid. And my son and I had the opportunity to come back. We live in the Chicago area. It was up in Wisconsin. And I have to say, we saw so many bands, but the only band my son stayed and watched the entirety of the show is Brotality.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
He's 10. He's an electric guitarist. So I think like you guys connected in a way that he just loves. So then when you came, you guys were on tour all summer. When you guys came to Chicago, we had to be there.
Oh, that's so amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'd love to know, you guys were on tour for 51 days. Is that right?
Yes, I believe
yes.
So.
Just a couple days. So tell me, what was like your highlight? What was the hardest part of also being on tour?
That's a really good question. I think the highlight was like getting able to see so many amazing places, because the first tour that we ever like really did was the previous summer, and we did like 6.5 weeks. And so that was kind of just every date, every show we played was kind of like, whoa, like this is so cool, right? Just because we're on tour, like it's the first time we're doing this. Yeah. So it was so amazing. This time around, like we kind of knew what to expect for the most part. Mm-hmm. Like Bryce booked all of it again. So we don't have any manager, any booking. So we did it all ourselves again still. So we went into it like it had been on our minds for like 6 months beforehand, every day, just thinking about it, you know, and you have shows dropping here and there. So we went into it with like more of an idea of what to expect. And so some of that like everyday excitement mm-hmm. wasn't there, but it was so much fun because like we were more used to it. So the nerves were also not there as much. And we didn't really have any like RV breakdowns, luckily. And I mean, we traveled a lot and nothing really big happened. No huge gear mishaps. So all that being said, like we had a few spots throughout the tour where a couple of venues might have dropped here and there, but we got to like have little mini vacations. So like we went to Myrtle Beach for a few days, which was awesome. We were like right on the beach. And then we went to Panama City Beach too. Like the only beach I had really known beforehand was like the Jersey Shore, which like I love it. Like I'm partial to it because that's just where my family goes every year. And we actually went right when we got home from tour. But like Myrtle Beach and Panama City Beach, you know, it was so cool to experience that. And like there was other spots throughout the country where like, you know, meeting up with friends from other bands that like we hadn't seen since last summer. And going on runs with our friends from other bands or staying over at their house or like that's so like soul fulfilling. Mm-hmm. So that stuff was really what stuck with me.
I also love like your mom traveled with you guys and your dog, yeah. Right?
Yes, our mom, dad, and dog. Yes.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so cool. And you could just like also just see the pride in your mom's face just watching you guys as a mom. Like I connect with that so much. So
yeah,
awesome. So tell me how Brotality came to be, what your sound is like, how that all started for you guys.
Yeah, so my brother and I, the band is my brother Bryce. He's on guitar and vocals. It's me on bass and vocals, and then our good friend John, who's on the drums. And so Bryce and I, like being brothers, and we're only like a little less than 2 years apart, ever since we were super young, our dad taught us to play guitar. And then I grew up a little bit, and Bryce wanted desperately to be in a band. I could say this now because he's not on here, but like he would even go to bed some nights like crying because like he wasn't in a band. And I remember like I wasn't super into it because I was like 8 years old. But then I like decided to play bass to just change it up a little bit. So that kind of worked with him playing guitar and me playing bass. So naturally we just started playing together. And then like ever since I was like, I think I was 9 when I played my first like live show. And then when I was about like 10 and Bryce was like 12 then, we joined up with a few friends and just kind of did like 3 to 4 hour long cover sets at like different bars and restaurants in like our local area. We did that for about like 5 or 6 years. We'd play like a couple weekends a month and it was fun, but not really original stuff. So that was definitely fun to just get better at our instruments and find our passion more for music. And so we went through like 2 different like band names and a few member changes and stuff. And then in like 2018, Brotality like actually became like a thing. We've got that name. And then at first it was just Bryce and I for a little bit. And Bryce was writing like all the music for like our first EP. Mm-hmm. And then we got a drummer and then we actually started to work together as a band, dropped another EP. And now in like 5 years, it's crazy, that was 5 years ago. But now like 5 years later, we have like 2 albums out that like it's been like a 3-piece since the beginning and all original stuff. We don't do covers anymore, and so like playing like venues instead of just like restaurants, like on like in the corner with like 1 speaker set up. So I'm very grateful for like the progression that we've experienced. And you know, we still have our dreams like super high, so like we're always going to keep working, but we've been very fortunate and we've been doing it for like the majority of my life, more than half my life, and there's no plan on stopping.
Yeah, oh, that's beautiful. I love that you use the words like passion and just like that you're just reflecting on that. So I'd love to ask you, you know, as you look back on those last couple of years, you know, what has been like the hardest part of like, you know, you have to like build this from the ground up. You're writing your own stuff, you're booking all these places. What's been the biggest challenge for you, for yourself or you as a band?
I think like having like such a conviction that you're supposed to do something is really fulfilling and also really difficult because in our minds, the three of us, there's no question that this is what we're going to be doing with our lives. Like I know, like especially Bryce and I, just because we're brothers, like we have both been saying that since we were like 10 years old. So like we know that like this has been our dream for this long. We've worked way too hard to just like let it go. Yeah. So we have no desire whatsoever to quit or to let this go. That's not going to happen. It's not even a thought, not a possibility.
Yeah.
So with that being said, it can also be sometimes discouraging, right?
Yeah,
because you expect different steps in progression and you think we should be here now. And you look at other bands or some of my favorite bands and they'll have like one EP out and the production is as good as anything I've ever heard. And they're playing big tours already, right? And they've been around for 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. Things like that can definitely be discouraging, but never once does that like, again, make me want to quit because I know that like, there's no other option in a good way too. Yeah. I'm really happy. Like I feel so passionate about it every time I get on stage. Like there's been times, even like this summer, you know, like towards the end of tour where you'll play a weekend show, right? Expecting like, okay, it's the weekend. Like there's going to be people out and you know, sometimes just people don't show up.
Yeah.
And your mind starts to run like, oh, like what does this mean? Or is it going to be like this forever? But then when we get on stage, even if we're playing for no one but ourselves, it's just so much fun and we're way too passionate about it. Mm-hmm. It just feels like home. And so there's no way I could just let it go. So I think that like balance of being passionate and then being disappointed because what you think should happen isn't happening at the time you want it to happen, it can be hard.
Reese, I think that's such a good reminder, because so many of us have passions or things that we are hopeful like is going to happen in the future. But the reality is sometimes there's like some space to wait, or some things are on pause, or it's slower than what we imagined. We live in like a McDonald's world where we're like, oh, we should be at like the giant arena right now. So
yeah,
it's hard, you know, because you're just so excited about something. And sometimes in that time, you know, God is teaching us, He's growing us to prepare us for something that's ahead, because maybe we wouldn't be ready for them. You know, we met you guys at Life Fest, which is a Christian music festival. I don't think if I wasn't at that edge stage, I wouldn't have ever met you guys. And so,
yeah,
you know, I know Jesus is in your heart. Like, tell me a little bit about that. When did Jesus become more than just a name for you?
When I can think back to like one moment, I don't know exactly what age I was. I was probably like 12 or so, but I'd grown up in the church. Like my family were all Christians and everything. And so that's always been a part of my life. But I think you get to the point where you start to actually become your own individual and your own like mental independence starts to progress. And so like I was kind of getting to that age a little bit. And so I started to have these like really like scary like thoughts of like death, right? So like just thoughts of like, where do I go when I die? Yeah. And I didn't know. I had no idea, because I'd been told all my life like, hey, you go to heaven. But then I thought about like, well, what if I don't? And I didn't have that conviction that I knew where I was going. So it wasn't long after that, it was around that we went to another Christian festival, Uprise Festival. At this festival that my family and I had been going to since we were like, my brother and I were kids, I was probably like 13 at this one. I was watching Seventh Day Slumber, I believe it was, from stage. And I'd always been a fan of them. And my mom and I listened to them a lot. And Joseph was just sharing something from stage. And I don't even remember exactly what he said. But I'd seen a lot of people, like artists and especially like front people from stage, give messages. But like, for whatever reason, that just hit me. And there was like an altar call during their set, like middle of the set. And I remember just like, you know, getting on my knees and like lifting my hands up. And just like all that fear that I had felt, all that uncertainty was just like lifted off me. And like, I felt joy that I hadn't felt before. And that even since then, I've only felt like a few times in my life. Just that like, I'll get sometimes moments of just like inexplicable joy that you can't explain or attach to anything for like any reason. And I can't explain it any other way than that's Jesus. So I knew it right in that moment. And then ever since then, like shortly after that, I got baptized in the backyard of like my pastor's house after like a church service. And ever since then, like it's been hard. Like it's been a struggle. It certainly has not been like, and I'm on the right path and it's all easy since then. Like I'm going to share a story about that in like a little bit. But yeah, I think it was like when I was probably 12 or something at that festival.
That's so cool. I'm so glad that you have that memory, because there is like that weird stage of your life. You're like, I think I remember. Or sometimes, you know, even for like my family, like I don't have a specific day of like, this is the day we started going to church and this is the day that I accepted Jesus. But like there's a season. So I'm so glad that you have that. I love 7 Day Slumber as well. That's so cool. And how like full circle moment of like to have that moment as a 12-year-old boy, but then now to be back at Uprise and to be able to be on that stage and doing the same thing for this next generation. Like, I think that is so cool, Reese. Way to go. All right. Well, so now we've come to the time where you get to share with us like your own parable story of, you know, how God has taught you a lesson.
Awesome. Yeah. So I was thinking about like, you know, I think everyone probably has a bunch of stories in their life that show God. I know I certainly do. I think the one that I want to share is like the most recent one that's happened for me, because it was also probably the most substantial one. So before we went on our first tour, so this was 2022, I was graduating from high school in like June of that year. And, you know, all of my high school, I was like the only even like Christian that I knew of. I think like there might have been a few other kids, but for whatever reason, I just like wasn't friends with them. And so I'd never had any sort of like Christian community. And besides like a church when I was growing up, but even that, it was mostly like people older than me. And so I never really had like a close youth group or anything like that, besides like my brother and my parents. And so it was really just like my parents that I would talk to about faith. And I talk about them a lot. We'd have long conversations like all the time after high school of me just being upset by stuff I'd see at high school that is just so like made like okay by just the world. And so I have a tendency to get really frustrated if I see things like that that are like normalized. It's just like hard for me to like be okay with. And so like a lot of times anger is my reaction, which I'm still working on. So yeah, like June of this year, I was graduating high school, really excited. I was planning on like going to school. Like I go to school with Bryce now, my brother. Mm-hmm. We've been dorming together ever since we've gotten here. So I was really excited for that. Yeah. But before then we had like our big first tour ever. And before then we'd gone on like one 10-day tour with like three shows. So it really was just like an extended weekender tour. But this one was like big and I didn't know what to expect. And so I graduated from high school. I had my graduation party like 2 days later and then we just went. Mm-hmm. And so obviously before then I was like overwhelmed, excited, but had no idea what to expect. So I kind of just expected nothing and just let it happen. And it was awesome. It was really great. Overall, it was amazing. We met so many amazing people and I saw Jesus in so many people. Mm-hmm. It was certainly life-changing. But at the same time, like I just remember like since there was so much new stuff happening, right? Like graduating from high school and then immediately like leaving and going across the country for so long with the same five people for like 6.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. I was very overwhelmed and didn't really know how to process it. And I didn't go to God for that. Mm-hmm. I hadn't really been in like a really intimate space with God in a while. I didn't feel like I had a strong relationship with him at that point in my life. And I just remember that feeling of like being on stage and I remember like giving our message still and wanting nothing more than to like mean every word I said, but having a hard time meaning it. And it was like that made it more difficult because I wanted to talk to people, but I felt like I wasn't in the right place to because I wasn't close to God. Yeah. And so I kept asking myself and kind of like I felt a little bit of shame over that too. I'm like, who am I? Like I'm not using this platform as I should, as I feel convicted to. So tour overall though, like I have a lot of great memories attached to that. And besides that, and that was definitely like always kind of more lurking in the background. So I didn't confront it head on because there were still so many positives of tour. So then we got home and we had like 10 days before I moved back up to school. And I'd planned on running cross country as Bryce had done in years past once I got to school too. So we moved up early for that. Mm-hmm. After 2 weeks of that, I was so unbelievably overwhelmed with classes, just starting college for the first time. The band's still going strong and like trying to run at a college, which I love running and I still run every day on my own, but it's a whole other commitment. So 2 weeks into the cross country team, I had to quit because it was just too much. And so that gave me enough stress. So all these things had kind of been accumulating and I wasn't dealing with them because again, there was so much new stuff happening that I felt like I didn't have time to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Even if it was a simple conversation every night for like a week that I needed to get it out. I felt like I didn't have time. I had so much work to do and it was all this new stuff. So I kind of went throughout that first semester struggling under the surface because on the surface, like I was happy that I was at school. I was happy that I was living with my brother and I was like meeting new people and having cool life experiences. But again, underneath all of that, there wasn't any intimacy in my like relationship with God. And I felt like super distant from him. And I wasn't like, I've been doing this, my brother and I and my dad and like my aunt and a few of her friends, we do this like online Bible study every morning. And I was still doing that every morning. But for those like months, it was just one of those things, you know, where I just open like the Bible app and then skim and then like pull out a verse and be like, I like this one and then sign off. Like, and it would be that for like months. And so I wanted to get closer to God, but I felt like I didn't have the time to make that commitment. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of just waiting for him, like, come on, do something. Cause like, I can't take a break to acknowledge you. And so it kind of persisted like that until the winter. Mm-hmm. And then once December hit, it was leading up to like finals week. And I'd taken a lot of classes my first semester, and I'd gotten all my like gen eds done beforehand in high mm-hmm. school. So it was like all upper level classes. I had a lot on my plate. And so it was like December, finals week was creeping up, and I don't even know how it started, mm-hmm. but I would just have like these anxiety attacks at mm-hmm. night while I'm trying to go to sleep. And it got really bad, like most nights for a few weeks. For like the whole month of December, I dealt with it pretty bad. And for most nights, I wasn't sleeping more than I was sleeping for like that 8 hour chunk. And like, I'm sure other people who are listening have dealt with this too, but yeah. I've never really gotten panic or anxiety attacks like during the day. Usually I'm completely fine, but it'll be at night while like I'm trying to go to sleep, and I'll start overthinking it. Like, what if I can't fall asleep? But I need to sleep because I have finals tomorrow, or yeah. I have this tomorrow, or I have this for the band. We have a show this weekend. So my mind would run, and I overthink everything anyways. So I would have like these anxiety attacks where I would just like FaceTime my mom and like be on FaceTime with her till like 3 in the morning. And like mm-hmm. one time I remember I never like was up the whole night, but till like 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. and laying in my bed, you know, for hours, desperately trying to fall asleep and not being able to, and then mm-hmm. just slogging it through the next day, still trying to do everything I needed to do, and then not being able to sleep. Mm-hmm. And so it was just this like horrible cycle that was just like also like mentally taxing as well mm-hmm. as physically. So I remember like it got really bad, and then towards the end, like the few days before moving back home, like I wanted nothing more than just move back home and have some stability and not have classes anymore. But when I didn't have work to do and like my class load was gone because finals were over, there was like this new stress and anxiety of like, well, what do I do now? Because for the past 5 months, my worth has been based on my productivity. Mm. Like what I could get done, that was like, if I was happy with myself at the end of the day, mm-hmm. it was because I got a lot of work done.
Yeah.
But that's this vicious cycle too, because mm-hmm. you can never get enough done to be fully content. Yes. And I still struggle with that.
Me
so,
too.
Yeah, man, like it was 2 days before I moved back home, and I was still getting the anxiety attacks going to sleep, and I had no classes, and I was able to just practice when I want during the day and do what I want, and I practiced vocals more and bass, and so it was looking good, but I was not having that peace whatsoever. So I remember around that time, like a few weeks before Christmas, we went to Christmas Burns Red, which is like August Burns Red, their like yearly big like end of the year Christmas festival. Mm-hmm. So my family and I have been going there for like 4 years, and I've never been to a concert before where I haven't been like crazy into it, especially mm-hmm. at a concert like that, that I look forward to every year, mm-hmm. just as a spectator. And I remember just standing there and like almost like being in tears that like I couldn't enjoy it, because I just had this like feeling of anxiety, like of what if I can't sleep tonight? And that's what I'm thinking while I'm standing there trying to enjoy the show. And I remember at the end of the night, I waited in line for like an hour to talk to Garrett Russell, who's the vocalist of Silent Planet. Like, I think he's an amazing role model in the Christian scene. And so as soon as I started talking to him, I just kind of like broke and I was crying, and it was crazy because no one plans on doing that. Sure. You wait in line to talk to someone you respect and look up to, and you start crying.
Aww.
But he was like the sweetest person ever in that moment. He just gave me like a bunch of big hugs and just encouraged me. And I remember one thing he told me, he was like, sometimes you just need to remember to run into the embrace of your Father. And I remember that just hit me because it like stripped away all the thoughts that I had about what I needed to do or where I needed to be to get closer to God. And it was just like, he's just there for you. Mm-hmm. Just let him be there for you and just go to him. And so I can't say that right then it just switched and it was over. Yeah. I remember like, I think I fell asleep all right that night, but I still struggled a little bit, but at least I had this seed now. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up moving back home. It was like winter break. Again, I didn't have anything really on my plate. We had a few shows that we were playing and we were working on stuff as always, but like I was still struggling with it. Mm-hmm. And then eventually that anxiety kind of devolved into like depression. I think like, I always get a little bit of like the seasonal affective disorder a little bit. I need to, like, I'm someone who needs to be outside, like, needs the sunlight. And it's hard, like, upstate New York, just like, you don't get that a lot. And it was just a hard winter. Like, it was just cloudy and dark every day and cold. So I remember just dealing with a lot of depression. And then that kind of taught me the value of trusting other people with your story and what you're struggling with, which is what I share every time from stage. I'd gone so many months, like, even if I was sharing stuff, like, with my parents or, like, with my brother, because he was there for me, which is amazing, too. I wasn't, like, really sharing, like, my concerns. It was more just, like, oh, this sucks right now. Like, be here with me for a second. All right, I'm cool. And then I'll face it again. And I think we need that, too. Just someone else being there, knowing that. But I wasn't, like, resolving anything. And so that whole winter break, like, that month of January, when I was, like, feeling, like, really depressed and I couldn't figure out why. Like, I did not know why. And that only made me more depressed. And the only thing I did know was that, like, for the first time in my life, I was certain that, like, I'd grown up seeing people talk about, like, depression from stage, or, you know, you see mental health organizations at, like, festivals. And I never knew what that meant. But I knew that this is what that feels like. And I'm not saying that I have struggled with it as much as some other people. Thankfully, it didn't last for me for too long. But I knew that that was what it felt like. It wasn't just, like, sadness. It was this, like, every day once the afternoon hit, and it'd just be like a wave. And I didn't know what to do about it. And so the whole winter break was one of the hardest times in my life, because, again, you're just struggling with this new thing that, like, didn't know what to do. And I remember talking a lot to my mom, and she was always there for me. And so we would just, even if it was super cold out, just, like, bundle up and, like, take flashlights and just walk to the end of our road and back, like, night after night, to just, like, get some fresh air and just, like, talk a little bit. So I was able to, like, comprehend a lot of the stuff I was going through and talk it out. So that was so helpful, having someone there to just, like, listen. And, like, my mom helped me a lot too through it, like, talked me through a lot of stuff and just stuff that she had gone through that, like, helped me understand what I was going through better. And so all of that was really helpful too. But after winter break ended, it was, like, February, we had to move back up to school, and I was super, like, nervous, but excited, because I thought that maybe this new environment, again, it'll change things. But I knew that I had to change something. I knew that I couldn't just go up there and just start the grind of, like, daily work again and just let this happen. I had to fix it, or I had to let God fix it. I didn't know that then. So my brother had in the past gone to this youth group, but for college kids, called CA. It was like Campus Ambassadors. So I didn't go at all in the fall, because I just told myself I'm too busy. And Bryce and I both made that commitment. And I was especially like, you got to come with me, because you've been here before. He had went, like, two semesters ago. And we both kind of realized, like, yeah, we both need this. And I knew something's got to change. And I know I'm not going to be able to fix it. So I need God. And I don't know how I need him, but I need him. So, like, let's see what he can do. I'm going to make this commitment no matter what. I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to make that commitment, and I'm going to start going to CA. So I did. And it didn't change immediately in the first few weeks. I don't think anything has ever happened to me where it's just been like, and this person said this, and then boom, it was solved. Right? It's all gradual. And so I was kind of moving out of this really dark season into this amazing season. That spring was, like, one of the most, maybe the most joyous of my life. And I realized that, like, I'd never had community before with other believers. And I've never really talked with, like, especially people my age, because that was something I never had in high school, about just issues with faith and about issues I had, like, in thinking about faith and, like, questions I had about God. So going to CA, like, that is, like, the thing. It just completely started to reverse that depression and anxiety I felt. I just wasn't feeling it as I went forward in my faith and took this commitment more seriously and went to CA every Thursday and went to church every Sunday and started to meet more people. And I'm, like, mostly an introverted person. At shows, I like to talk to people a lot and I like to be extroverted, but I would say, like, definitely I'm that person where, like, if I had a lot of work during the day, I like to just relax kind of by myself or with, like, one or two people at night. So it was hard going into a room of, like, 50 kids every Thursday. And for that first hour, just kind of, like, doing a meet and greet. I didn't want to do that. And so it was definitely difficult, but I started to learn more about my faith. Questions started to be answered, and I started to have a community of people who weren't perfect either. yeah. and who had their own stories about struggling. And I remember people would get up and give their testimony, like other college kids my age. And I remember like someone shared a whole testimony about having anxiety attacks mm-hmm. and how Jesus set them free from that once they like committed more to him. Mm-hmm. And so I saw this start to happen with me, and I realized that like, it wasn't just going to CA. Mm-hmm. Going there though, and going to church every Sunday was me making a commitment to my faith. Mm-hmm. Was me like giving devotion to my faith that I hadn't in months, maybe even like years. And so my faith bloomed more than it ever had before. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, like I'm still going to CA and now like I have like some leadership positions there. And so it's become a thing that like, I not only just want to do every week, I need it. Like for my faith, I need that. I need that community. I need that embrace of like Christian fellowship. So like for anyone out there that is feeling like in a spiritual rut, feeling distanced from God, or just not in a place where you want to be spiritually, I think it's really important to look at who's around you. Look at your influences, like look at who you're hanging out with or who you're not surrounding yourself with. And the importance of community is indescribable. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the same thing with just having one other person to talk to, like my mom was for me. That was its own form mm-hmm. of community at that point. Yeah. And so I needed that. And with my brother in the fall, I needed that little bit of community. Mm-hmm. But then when the spring came, I realized I really needed like a mm-hmm. church of yeah. people to talk these things over and to experience these things with other believers. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I just want to share, like owing to how like kind of hard it was in that time, but how amazing Jesus is for setting me free from it. Mm-hmm. The whole like anxiety attack surrounding sleep, it was especially difficult because I hadn't felt that since I was a little kid. I used to struggle with that a lot mm-hmm. when I was way younger. I used to have horrible night terrors when I was a kid. And so I just like would not be able to sleep most nights. And I was terrified of the dark, like almost every single night till probably like 9th or 10th grade in high school. If it would start to get dark out, I would just like get scared, and not just like scared that like there's monsters out there. Cause as I got older, I realized that, you know, that that's not possible, but there was still this like constant yeah. fear, just unexplainable, that I couldn't get rid of. And I remember one night having these night terrors. I would like wake up in the middle of the night and you know, they feel like they're so real. And I would just be standing like up in my bed, like flailing my arms, like screaming, like waking the whole house up. And I remember my mom like one night like walked in and like kind of like sat me down and was just like, we'd never done this before. But she was like, just say under your breath, just say like, in Jesus' name, go away. Just repeat it again and again and again. And I did it. And after that, I'd never had another one of those night terrors again, and I haven't since. And if I ever got that like feeling, mm-hmm. I would just say that over and over. And I did that a lot when I was having these anxiety attacks again. I kind of like thought back to that. I hadn't mm-hmm. felt these feelings, this like terror of sleep and like night since I was a kid, just that fear of sleep. And I remember I would just say like, in Jesus' name, go away. Mm-hmm. And eventually, like, it would almost work every night. Like I said, there was never any night that I couldn't fall asleep. It just was a matter of how long did it take me to remember to, like, yeah. say, okay, in Jesus' name, go away. But I think, like, there's so much power in the name of Jesus just saying it. And it's amazing to see that in real life with just, like, spiritual warfare. So, again, that made all those feelings, all that darkness that I struggle with that much harder, which I think owes to, like, the community that I found really was profound. And God led me in that area because I was committing more to him.
Gosh, Reese, thank you so much for sharing so vulnerably what you experience. I think so many of us go through life where we feel overwhelmed, or we do feel that shame of like, should we share this with anyone? Like, is mm-hmm. it, or we can feel like we can just take care of it. Like you said, the yeah. words like, I'll just try to figure it out. And we know like God's supposed to help us, but we'll just take mm-hmm. care of this because I'm sure he has other things to do, right?
Right.
So there's that battle that rages on inside of us. I'd love to ask you, like, how do you like focus to like connect with God? Because it is a challenge, because we want to just like, I have this project to do. I have work, whatever happens to be on your plate. How do you keep that focus? Because it's super easy to just like drift off or just kind of say like, I'll get to it tomorrow. Because when you were talking about reading that Bible app and just kind of like glazing over, here's my favorite verse, done it. Like I've done it so many times yeah. because we're not letting it truly like soak into our heart. Thoughts on like how not to drift away for you?
Well, first of all, I love that, like the drifting away, because that's exactly how I've felt it in the past. I've never made like a conscious decision, like, you know what? I'm done with this faith. It's never been like that. It's never been as cut dry as that. Mm-hmm. It's always been a slow drift. Mm-hmm. And so and that's why it took me so long to realize, hey, I've drifted away, right? Because I never made that decision in the first place to drift away. It just happened as my commitment wavered. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, like, as I was struggling, I was watching like a ton of online sermons because I was having trouble like connecting to the Bible just myself by just reading it. And so at that time, I really needed like just some guidance. Mm-hmm. I need someone else to kind of just speak the word to me.
Yeah.
And so I found that as an awesome resource, just like through YouTube videos. And I think one thing I learned that was so powerful was like this concept of just like recentering throughout the day. It's so easy to drift away daily. And then if we drift away daily, it'll become a few days. Mm-hmm. And then if we can't make the church that week, it's 2 weeks. And then when we go to church again, we're like, why am I not feeling this? Because it's been 3 weeks of drifting away. Yeah. So making it a daily practice to just recenter, regroup, block out distractions. For me, I take advantage of if I can go outside, I'm getting outside. Mm-hmm. And what I would do, even in the winter, even if it was like a blizzard out, I would just walk around campus with like 3 coats on and just listen to a sermon. And I'd put it just like in my pocket, my phone and my earbuds in. And I would just walk around campus and it was like super peaceful. Even if it was freezing cold, like block out the distractions, go and do that. And I would have this peace like every night. Mm-hmm. And so like recentering, whether it's at night or in the middle of the day, or especially when, not just even when, but especially when you feel like you don't need to.
Yeah.
When you feel like I'm not like super tempted right now or anything, like I'll read the Bible tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And then of course the devil's always listening. And so he's going to be like, okay, sweet. I got you later. And so like knowing that like temptations are going to come, it's going to be easy to drift away. Mm-hmm. We all have that habit. I know I have that habit. I learned that. Mm-hmm. I will drift away if I don't recenter, if I'm not careful. Mm-hmm. So making that a commitment, at the end of the day, even if there was one assignment that I didn't completely get to read through because I carved out 20 minutes of my day to just recenter and pray and read my Bible, that will 100% be worth it 100 times over. God will definitely make a way. Like, let go of that worry about, well, what if I'm not getting stuff done? Instead of placing your value in like your work productivity, I think the most productive thing you can do for yourself is take that time to recenter.
Yeah. It's so good, Reese. It really is. Like, you are speaking to my soul. I love what you talked about community, because I think for so many of us, specifically when we look back at the pandemic, like we felt that disparity of like not having people in our life. You're like, well, what is happening? So just to have somebody, and you're like, it can just be one person, one safe person who is willing to listen and is just not necessarily trying to fix you in any way, but help it guide you back. So we were not drifting, guide you back to where you just need to be at the moment. So I love that your mom and your brother were that for you. When you said earlier, like how you were in high school, and you were like angry, like when people like didn't like connect on the same like understanding. You guys are a metal band, right? And I know that you're in places that are not in Christian spaces. So how has that changed for you? Has that been challenging, or has that been like an opportunity?
So I think like I've always kind of had this separation in a way between my daily life, like my non like brutality like life, and when I see like worldly things that might anger me in like that than in like at a show.
Yeah.
So like we try to play as many like secular venues as possible. Mm-hmm. That's where we feel called to be. We want to share our message with people who haven't heard it or would not have heard it if we weren't there for that night. You know, and we love playing Christian festivals too. Like those are really soul giving to us too. Whereas like secular shows might not be as much. And so like we love playing secular shows, but in a way, I think part of that like anger at like if I'm just in high school or in college, right? With like the party scene, like it can be really hard to like be around that because in my mind, incorrectly, I'm not seeing it as a mission field.
Yeah.
I see what we do with brutality as like almost like mission work, right? Like we have our message and like at the core of it, like that's at the core of it, right? The music is fun and like that's what we're passionate about, but mm-hmm. we're just vessels, so our music is just a vessel mm-hmm. for him. And so whenever we play like a secular show, not that I'm going in there like these people really need Jesus because they're really struggling, like everyone struggles, like yeah. at Christian festivals people are struggling so much too. Yeah. I've been that person struggling mm-hmm. at so many of those festivals, but knowing that like I want to share this message with these people, and these people are still so loved by God, so let me show that to them as much as I can too. Mm-hmm. It certainly is hard sometimes. Like we've had stories in the past where someone will be like almost passed out drunk and they'll flip one of the speakers, like Bryce almost got crushed by a speaker one time. Of course there's moments that are like, is this what we should be doing? But we always feel that conviction nonetheless to reach those areas that aren't being reached. And so, yeah, I think like it can definitely be hard to be in like secular areas, but knowing that like everywhere you walk is a missions field, mm-hmm. right? Everyone yeah. needs Jesus.
Absolutely.
So I'm kind of going to learn that for myself too, yeah. right? Like not just my band, like that's my mission field. Mm-hmm. So when I'm off that, everyone needs to be like holy and perfect or else I'm going to get upset. Right. But seeing like my daily life as its own mission field, mm-hmm. I think is something that I'm working on.
It's a work in progress. None of us will ever have arrived. Right. You know,
right.
it is we are human and we are just being like molded and refined each day. So, yeah, that's such a good point. You know, I'm a mom to a 10 and 13 year old. So I am watching this next generation. I'm loving this next generation. You know, you guys do such a good job of asking everybody to come over and like connect with you if they want to talk. I would love to know, like from your perspective, you're just a few years younger than me. You're in college. So I'd love to ask you, like, what is your hope? What does this next generation need in order for them to just know that they are seen, that they are loved?
Wow, that's a great question because a lot of things come to mind. I mean, first of all, like the simple answer, I think everyone needs Jesus. And I think that I've talked about this a lot with just people my age too, and kind of between what I think and just the consensus from like other people my age, other Christians especially that I've heard and that I agree with, is like I think young people's, I think from my age, people in school or in high school or younger than that, there's a really like bad misconception of the church. And then that leads to a misconception of who Jesus is.
Absolutely.
And so I think people need to see that there's a separation between the church, right? And like who we are and who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. I think people need to see that like we're not pointing to us as Christians. Mm-hmm. Like I never want to have people think that like I'm the one who's mm-hmm. perfect. Yeah. And so when I inevitably fall, it's not mm-hmm. like, well, Christianity's debunked then.
Yeah.
Because he just spread rumors or mm-hmm. was lying, right? And mm-hmm. I caught him in the middle of it. So how is he different from me?
Yeah.
And it's me saying, like, as Christians, we're trying our best.
Mm-hmm.
But I can guarantee you, I will never be that person, never be that perfect person, never be that savior. Yeah. And that's the point. That's the whole point of the whole thing, mm-hmm. right? Is that I won't be that person. No human can be that person. Even your close family. Every human at some point will fail you.
Yeah.
You know, and so as much as I can say, like, you know, community is so important, and it really, really is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have that be your only thing, mm-hmm. right? I think that's why I connected with like Christian community so much was mm-hmm. because it ultimately connected with me with God more. That mm-hmm. was the ticket, as opposed to me just going to like the hard rock club on campus or whatever, right? Like that would not have gotten me out of my depression. It's yeah. not just like I needed more friends.
Mm-hmm.
I needed that like soul-giving relationship mm-hmm. with other people and then to get closer to God. So mm-hmm. I think like my hope and my prayer for just any younger person mm-hmm. is to realize that like, listen, Christians are gonna mess up.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us are like really, really messing up. And sometimes very publicly, the gospel is not that like Christians should be perfect. And so mm-hmm. it's debunked when we're not. It's the opposite. It's that none of us are perfect. Don't think we're perfect. If any Christians are saying like we're perfect or we're better than you, mm-hmm. then don't believe them. We're all struggling. So we all need love.
Mm-hmm.
And we all need someone who is perfect and unfailing, and that's Jesus.
Reese, thank you so much for sharing. Like, we could continue on in this conversation. It's so good. You're so wise for your age. I'm so impressed with you. I've really, really enjoyed our time together. If people wanted to get connected to Brotality, learn more about you, where can we stream all the music? Where can we do that?
So we're on all the streaming services like iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, all that stuff. We're also on like Instagram, Facebook. I think we have a TikTok too, which we're trying to post more on. I think we might even have a Twitter. Yeah, I don't know if I said YouTube also, but like, and yeah, we're on like Instagram. We're posting a bunch of reels and stuff lately of like clips from our live shows. So we're staying really active on our social media. So if you want to get any updates about like upcoming shows, upcoming music, which that will hopefully be happening sometime in the near future, some new music. We're posting clips of newer songs on our Instagram too and Facebook. So you can head over to all our social medias. We're on all the streaming services to check us out.
Such a pleasure. You guys, I told you guys this summer, but you have a true joy about you, all of you. And it's really fun to watch you guys on stage. So thank you so much for being on the Parable Podcast.
Thank you so much, Danielle. This is like so much fun. Like, it was very fulfilling for me too, to have this conversation. I needed it. So thank you so much. It was awesome.
Thanks so much to Reese. I loved his heart and his honesty in discovering why mental health matters. To connect with Reese or Brotality, simply visit DanielleZapchank.com for details. And here are two reflection questions from our time with Reese. Number one, what is bubbling under the surface for you? Maybe it is going on a walk or a run like Reese did. Maybe it's journaling or talking to a loved one to break through some of that pent up emotion that can really stress our mental health. Number two, are you in a season of drift without even knowing it? Take stock of your relationship with God. Do you need a community? Maybe it's a commitment to a spiritual practice, or maybe it's a simple conversation to get you back on track. Pray about what is your next step. Thank you to my technical producer of a husband, Eric, for his amazing editing skills. That's going to do it for today. I'm grateful that you took the time to spend it with me. Remember, your parable showcases that he is with you in the struggle. We'll see you back again next week on the Parable Podcast.